Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss. Structure, accountability, results, the standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. Every Wednesday, we're happy to be joined on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline by Mike Rizzo, the president of baseball ops and GM of the Nationals. As we go in the clubhouse, Mike Rizzo, presented by Burke and Herbert Bank, unexpectedly different. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Junkies. How are you?
Hello, Mike. We've been having fun enjoying the Caps run and wanted to bring up a hypothetical to you because we were talking about, you know, Bryce Harper got a lot of attention because he wore his Vegas Golden Knights jersey to the Caps game. Mm-hmm. Of course, you had Max and Zim there doing the Let's Go Caps, and everybody went nuts for it, and it was fantastic. And the hypothetical's not about what they wore. Would you have a problem with, you guys have a day game today, game five in Vegas is tomorrow night, you don't play again until Friday night, would you have a problem with Bryce Harper flying to Vegas to go to the Vegas Golden Knights game?
Only if he took me with him. That would be the one caveat of the deal. If I got to go with him, he could go. No, I would. I'd be all about it for sure. As long as he's back and ready to go, he knows what it takes to get ready for a game. He's a professional, and yeah, you know, with the wherewithal he has, he probably can make the trip pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. It's your private jet. You fly back.
Now, I mean, Jason, you were going to bet everything you own that he was going to say no.
I don't believe Mike truly believes that. It would be Mike would have a problem with that. So he would have to get on a plane, fly red eye, get back here at like 2 o'clock on Friday for a 7 o'clock game.
If he wants to, if he'd be ready to play that game, it'd be fine.
He doesn't have to do red eye.
Exactly. He doesn't
He's going to fly overnight. He has to fly late Thursday night.
No, he could leave Vegas early in the morning and take a private jet and be here plenty of time.
Okay. Right. Here's the thing, Mike. Here's the thing we were talking about just in relation to teams. So you guys are in good position again. And it's a theme every week. I mean, the injuries and everything you guys dealt with have been miraculous. The job again.
Now you guys lose Hellickson.
Yeah, but only for maybe a couple weeks. I mean, and they've got off days, so they're going to manage it. But when you look at it, and I think it was Pete Medhurst that pointed out that we only have one guy, under 25? What's the stat? That's
only one guy hitting above 255 in the regular lineup. Like who was hitting yesterday?
Right, right.
And that's the 19-year-old.
Right, and that's the 19-year-old. But you got to look at that and go, well, that sure bodes well for the second half of the season, right? Because I'm with you. I believe in the back of your baseball card bit that eventually these guys are going to hit their numbers.
Yeah, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree with that. When I know two 90 career hitters are hitting 230, I think there's a lot of hits coming in the near future. And same way as if a guy's hitting 350 and he's a 250 hitter, then you know there's going to be a lull. So yeah, I do. I believe in track record. When players are healthy, I believe in track record. Hitters hit. You know, big leaguers are big leaguers, and I think that's how we have to attack when we're having our roster construction discussions is, you know, what type of players, you know, we have to forecast and project what type of player we think, what kind of season we think these players are going to have. And I think that's an important part of our process.
In other words, if you were sitting, like, you had all these injuries, everything notwithstanding, but if you were sitting there and you were a game back or whatever, and you guys, Bryce was hitting 350, Trey was hitting 350, Rendon was hitting 320, you know, Michael Taylor was hitting 300. Then you might actually be worried because you're playing at a peak clip and you're still a game back, right? This is a better position to be in almost.
Yeah, the game back, that is no bearing on any decision making we make right now and mm-hmm. the beginning of June. I don't worry about what other major league teams are doing, even in our division. I don't watch the score, but I I only care about how we're playing, because I feel this way. If we're playing to our potential right. and in the way we're supposed to play, we don't have to worry about anybody else, because we're, you know, the champions of the division. We're one of the best teams in the league, and you know, if we play that way, we have a chance to beat anybody. So I don't scoreboard watch per se. I really bear down on what we see in with our ball club, and you know, that's. We can, you know, we gloss over it and we don't talk about it. We don't, because there's nothing we can do about it. There's no excuse. But you're missing, you know, Ryan Zimmerman, and who was a 3.5 WAR player last year. Murphy, Eaton, you know, those are big chunks of your lineup out of the that haven't played for us this year and much this year. And it's just gratifying that. You get a guy like a Reynolds and an Adams that take over at first, and a default that's capable of taking over at second, and so on and so forth. It really is an organizational success right now where we're at. There's the process has worked, and you know we're proud of the youth and the exuberance that these young players bring to the big league roster.
When do you think Zim's coming back? What's his schedule?
I think we should expect him back soon. Sometime in mid June or so. A week or so. I haven't seen him today. I saw him work out yesterday, so I think that he's not too far away. I don't think Murphy's too far away. Mm. Eaton got hit a homer and got a couple of hits last night in Potomac, and so I think these guys are close. We're in a very good place that we don't have to rush these guys. We want them back here. We want them back as themselves. You know, we don't want them back at 85% if we can help it, because we don't have to rush anybody back. And we've got ourselves a team that's we're managing to win games. You know, our strength has always been pitching, defense, and athleticism. I think that's on full display right now with our starting rotation. I think is. And one of the best in the league, and our bullpen has pitched over the last 2 months, one of the best in the league. We've got great defense up the middle. I think you see us, we're winning baseball games in different manners. Sometimes we slug, sometimes we create runs, and sometimes we save runs. And I think that's a good way for a well-rounded team to play. You think once you get your big boys back, the lineup will start clicking and you'll hit on all cylinders.
Joined by Mike Rizzo, president of baseball ops and general manager of the Washington Nationals. Now, I don't want to gloss over the Daniel Murphy thing, because Chelsea Janes in the Washington Post had an article on Sunday expressing some doubt about Murphy's condition. And we saw some video where he seemed to have a little bit of a limp and throwing kind of off of a flat foot from second base. What have you seen from him, and what are the realistic expectations?
Well, we expect him to be back this year soon and to help us, but we want him back here 100%, like we said. He's been hitting a lot, so the hitting portion of it should be fine. The lateral movement on defense has something that we're concentrating on, and the deceleration when he runs is something we're concentrating on. When he's in burst mode and sprint mode, he's fine. It's the deceleration that he's worried about. He's got to trust that the knee is healthy. Because your mind will not allow the knee to perform at its optimal level until your instincts kick in and you have to do it naturally. So we're just waiting for that. You know, I think it's repetitions and strengthening the knee and just playing a full 9-inning game is an accomplishment. And once he does that, back to back days and. Can handle the grind of the season, and then I think we'll see him back. We don't want to bring him back and have him getting prepared to play at the major league level. We'll prepare him on his rehab, and we'll bring him back, and he'll be ready to go when he gets here.
Talk about Max last night. 8 innings, 5 hits, 13 Ks, didn't walk anybody. He was just filthy. I mean, he just doesn't have bad starts. A bad start for Max is, three earned runs through six. But most of them are, 7-8 and allowing 12 strikeouts. Runs, 10 strikeouts plus. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing something special here. I hope people recognize what they're watching when Max pitches every time out. It's remarkable. It's something that is very, very unique in today's game. You see a pitcher with that type of dominating presence in a baseball game is something that you don't see very often. You know, he when he's on the mound, you expect to win every time he pitches. And he, you know, he does something during the game that fires me up, at least. You know, his attitude, his presence, and the way he goes about his business is something that if every young player on, at least in our organization, let alone baseball, doesn't watch and try and emulate, that they're doing themselves a disjustice, because this guy prepares as good as anybody. He competes as good as anybody, and of course his stuff is off the charts. And you're seeing something magical here. You're seeing a future Hall of Famer get after it every 5 days in our city, and it's fun to watch.
So today we've got 1 o'clock game at the park. Who throws today? Is it Tanner or is it Strassi?
Yeah, we have Tanner pitching today. 1:05 game against Tampa, a day off. But that's day three of the draft, which is probably the biggest event that will happen at this ballpark. And it's been here for three days, so it's a huge day for baseball ops. We've drafted through 10 rounds, and today we go 11th round, a 40th round, and we're going to pick some big leaguers.
Yeah, and I saw most of them. I guess your MO, at least early, is to go pitcher, and I think your first pick, I can't remember what it was, you know, obviously, it's 26th pick, whatever the hell it was high school pitcher, and I was like, well, I thought that was the Billy Beane thing. You don't take high school pitchers in the first round. What's the thinking on that? I know I read the quotes. He's got clean mechanics. He looks great, got great size, got everything you want. But what is sort of the current thinking on when you pick high school pitchers?
Well, I think every organization has a different philosophy. There's some teams that really lean towards high school players and high school pitching. You know, we're kind of a hybrid. We really do in baseball. We really do employ the best player available method. And you know, at oftentimes when you're picking at the bottom of the draft, which we have been. Very in the recent past, is that you give yourself a chance to get a guy that can impact a baseball game, and usually at the bottom of each round where we pick, we try and get a guy that impacts the game as much as we can. We felt that this player has a chance to be a front of the rotation starter. Now there's some projection and development that has to go into it, rather than taking a college pitcher that we know who he is, but it's only a back end of the starter. We went for upside with this player. He's a supreme athlete, great stuff, great body. You know, he looks like a college player already. He's only 18 years old, and we'd like to get him signed and get him developed. Our track record with developing pitchers has been supreme. So we feel good about the drafts.
Mike, since we're talking about pitchers, I want to get your take on this. You know who Mike Martin is?
Mike Martin of Florida State. He's a legend, college baseball coach legend, yes.
Yes. Did you hear about the latest controversy with him, with his pitcher?
I did hear about it vaguely.
So just if listeners don't know, his stud pitcher was pitching a regional elimination game against Mississippi State, and his pitcher pitched 8 innings, and then there was a 2.5-hour rain delay. And Mike Martin decided after the delay to bring the same pitcher back for the 9th inning. He comes back, he walks two and gives up a game-winning home run. They get eliminated. I know Mike Martin's been coaching for years. He's 75 years old. Any thoughts on that? And would you have approved of that at all?
Well, my thought on all these pitching decisions that we talk about all the time is the pitcher's always going to want to pitch. So asking the pitcher, hey, can you do this for me? Can you get us another inning? Can you get us another win? Is a cop-out for manager, coach, general manager. We have to be the adults in the room. We have to tell, we have to dictate and manage what we do as an organization, as a staff. I think those decisions come from above. I mean, I make unpopular decisions with our players all the time in the best interest of themselves, which is the best interest of the organization. That's how I feel about it. This goes way back to the Strasburg shutdown and every other decision that I've made here. The adults in the room, we have to take it out of the hands of the players, because the players are warriors. They're going to say yes every time you ask them. We have to control ourselves from being the over exuberant party and be the calm thinking party and always thinking about the player and the long-term viability of the player.
Mike, it's time for the Burke and Herbert Bank fan question of the week. Are you surprised the Mets season has unraveled so quickly after such a great start? That's from John in Mechanicsville.
You know, we've said it many, many times. When they're healthy, you know, they've got a great rotation. When healthy, they just haven't been healthy, and it's hard to control injuries. You try and think ahead about it and prepare for injuries. They've had a lot of injuries, and they haven't had the depth to kind of overcome those. I'm not surprised when they're playing great because their roster is full of talented, especially talented pitching. And when your big boys go down, you have to have the depth to survive until they get back. They've had a lot of injuries, so it's not surprising to me. It's like a lot of other teams when the big guys go down, your team isn't as good.
All right, Mike.
Thank you.
Caps,
great stuff.
Hey, did Caps win tomorrow night?
Yeah, I think they went on the road. They played well on the road this playoffs, and I think they do. And I'd like to see them. I'd like to see them. You know, you always want to see them win it at home, but I'd like to get it out of the way and win it. And win it and get it done with.
Yeah, right. Let's not mess
and have
around.
Have a parade.
Let's
right.
not get many hope.
Have a parade.
Just bury him.
All right.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. See you next week.
Okay.
Bye.
We'll do.
All right, see you.
Hopefully, the first of two parades this year.
That would be nice. That would be great.
The Bostonian-like run. The New England-like run.
Can you imagine two parades?
Definitely possible. Let's get the first one knocked out. Let's get the first one knocked out. A lot of people are tweeting us, oh, you're jinxing it, talking about JP's graduation dilemma and that parade potentially.
There's no jinx.
It's either going to happen or it's not.
Right.
What you say on a radio show has,
you're right. has no
zero.
Bearing on what
it
happens on the ice.
It couldn't have less bearing.
Correct.
Unless you're playing Get That Stanley or not playing, and of course the boys are taking Venmo.
Right.
Venmo donations.
The farther up to 35. Pretty good. Now, it's not as good as paying Chad Dukes $10 to unblock him on Twitter.
That's a great bit. Chad hustle's amazing.
That's such a great hustle. I was just thinking about the other day. Chad blocks people, is making money blocking people because he knows they're going to want to be unblocked. So you get the $10 every time. I mean,
no, the genius one is he will follow you for 100.
So great.
Oh, my God.
So great. But now, does
Why
he follow
do people
him
care?
And mute him? That's what he's doing. That's a trick. He's got to follow him and not mute him. That's for a thousand.
And, of course, he declares all this money.
Oh, yeah.
He declares it all.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next,
we all would.
Dive into the NBA
100%
Finals.
I would.
Yeah. Game 3 tonight in Cleveland. Tim Bontemps will join us, national NBA writer for the Washington Post, here on the Junkies.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 and FAM. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. And joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, national NBA writer for the Washington Post, Tim Bontemps. Of course, NBA Finals, not getting as much attention here because we've been talking so much Caps. And it is the fourth year of Golden State versus Cleveland. And right now, it looks like a mismatch once again. Tim, can Cleveland change the storyline tonight? Or do you think this is fait accompli? They just can't match up with Golden State?
I mean, I think it's a fait accompli that they can't match up. But there's a chance that they win this game that, you know, people might get, you know, might think that they could win again on Friday and make this interesting, right? But, I mean, that's really where we're at. I mean, they had a chance in game one to kind of put the series on its ear a little bit and, you know, and give it a chance to be interesting. And that was why, you know, everybody around that team was so devastated after that loss the other night because, you know, if they win game one, you know, they probably get a game here, probably go six games. You know, the NBA is happy. The Cavs, you know, give a representative effort in the finals. It goes pretty long. Everybody, walks away feeling pretty good. Now, you know, it could very easily end on Friday. And, you know, that's a big difference optically. That's a big difference just from, you know, thinking you got a chance in the series, somebody gets hurt, you never know. So that first game really, the way it ended, I think it just kind of set the series up for where we are at now, which is, you know, maybe probably four games, and you know, if we can get one of these, you know, then maybe it goes five.
And I don't know who released the video, but the video that was released of the bench after the J.R. Smith blunder, where LeBron right. had his face in a towel for like 30 seconds. J.R. Smith is by himself. Nobody is talking yep. there for a minute and a half yep. or 2 minutes. What did you interpret from that, if anything?
I mean, I kind of interpreted from it what I felt watching the game in real time, which was just everybody was in a state of shock, you know? I mean, George Hill was in a state of shock because he's an 85% free throw shooter or missed a free throw. J.R. Smith was in shock because, although he claimed otherwise, he thought they were ahead and, you know, had blown a chance to potentially win the game. And, you know, LeBron was, you know, was devastated. I mean, I can understand where they're at now. You know, would it be nice if everybody was like, all right, let's go. Let's get this game here in overtime. Sure. But, you know, as much as we like to pretend these guys aren't human beings, they're human beings. And that was a insane few seconds. And it was a brutal way to blow what should have been a win for the Cavs, you know. And like I said, it had pretty massive implications for the series. So, you know, I didn't read too much into it other than it was kind of what I expected.
See, I did. I read into it. I can't play with these bozos any longer. Like, I saw that as LeBron's going to bounce.
I just don't read into it, stuff like that. I mean, look, could LeBron leave in free agency? Obviously. But I don't think that J.R. Smith not knowing the score was like LeBron's breaking point and he was leaving town. You know what I mean? I think they all just knew how good of a chance they just had, and that Golden State was going to come out like a house of fire in overtime. I mean, I really think that's all it was. I mean, winning game one of the NBA Finals would have been a huge thing for them, especially with Klay banged up with Iguodala out. I mean, it really would have kind of put the Warriors on the back foot and put the series on its ear. Instead, you know, they lost that game, and, you know, like I said before, now we're just kind of stuck where we are with, you know, the series not really going anywhere interesting.
Well, what do you think is the future of LeBron? Do you think he stays, or do you think he jets?
I mean, I've thought all season he was going to get back to the finals and stay, so I'm not really going to change my opinion at this point. And, but I don't think any of us really know. I mean, that's the thing about LeBron. Like, he keeps a super tight circle of people, right? Like, he's got Maverick Carter and Randy Mims and a couple other people, and that's it. I mean, he doesn't have, like, a sprawling, like, for all of his business stuff, mm-hmm. he doesn't have a sprawling network of people. It's like a circle that's less than five guys. So I don't think anybody's going to really know, right? Like, we're going to get to July, and it's probably going to be the second or third week of July, and then he'll make his announcement like he did a couple of years ago when he said he was going to back to Cleveland in an SI letter, right? I mean, whatever he decides to do, I mean, it's going to be real close to the vest, I'm guessing, until the end, because, you know, that's kind of always been his modus operandi, to just wait and let everybody know when he feels like letting them know.
What would be the obvious choices? Because I've gotten to the point there, you know, I kind of resented 10 years ago, whatever, we went to Miami, the super team. And now it's like watching these finals, like, man, I hope he goes to a super team.
It's the new norm.
I mean, I really do. I want it to be competitive.
If he wants to win one or two more rings.
Why should he sacrifice his career and play with bozos just because we want him to be old school? No, you should do what you have to do. I want him to play with a super team. What would be his best, most likely scenarios?
Well, all right. So there's a few things on the table. First thing is he's said a lot that, you know, the combination of winning and family are going to make his decision, right? So I think the thing that people haven't talked about enough is his oldest son, I want to say, is like in seventh or eighth grade. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if he says, hey, Dad, I want to go to high school where you did, or I like my friends here and I want to stay here, I could see that.
Case closed, it's over.
Decision,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, like that could be like, all right, then we're going to stay here and I'm going to play and we'll, you know, maybe trade the eighth pick for somebody and we'll keep rolling it back, right? But if he does decide to look around, I mean, you've got Philly, which has a chance to get max cap room. It could even trade for another guy. I mean, you could have LeBron there with to Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, even though I don't like the fit there with Ben Simmons very much because he has to have the ball. You know, but I think the real obvious one, other than that, is the Lakers,
yeah.
Where, you know, the Lakers tried to claim for a long time that they had all these young guys that they loved, that they were never going to trade. And, you know, they were telling, you know, leaking that out to the media, oh, yeah, we're not going to trade any of our young guys. And not surprisingly, with the potential to get LeBron on the horizon, the Lakers have now started to leak out that, well, you know, nobody's untouchable on our team. And, you know, we could move guys in the right trade, which is code for, hey, LeBron, if you decide to come to the Lakers, we will trade all of our young guys to get another star. And we'll get rid of Luol Deng's contract so we can sign you and Paul George. And then we can have you, Paul George, and somebody else, like Dame Lillard or Kawhi or somebody. And, you know, then we'll be in business, right? Mm-hmm. That's already starting to come out there, too. So, I mean, I think as far as building a super team, I think those are the two best cases for him. And then if he comes back to Cleveland, you know, next summer there's going to be a lot more teams in cap room. And I could see him, if he rolls it back for one more year, you know, potentially going into the market next summer when there'll be a lot of money available in a lot of places that he could potentially wind up. Plus, I think there's 6 or 7 all-stars that are free agents next summer. So it'd be even easier for him to go around and figure out a way to team up like he did in 2010, mm-hmm. as opposed to this year where it might require some trades to make it happen.
So yeah, that would make a lot of sense to L.A. Yeah. With Paul George and, you know, maybe they get Kawhi, but I mean, you get LeBron and Paul George on a team. All right, maybe it's not a super team like Golden State, but it's pretty damn close.
Yeah, I mean, that team still wouldn't be nearly good enough to play with Houston or Golden State.
Probably
but
not. Yeah.
You know, like you said, I mean, you get those two guys, all of a sudden, you know, you're going to have everybody in the league wanting to play there. And, you know, if somebody forced a trade, I mean, look, you never know how the final couple pieces there shake out, right? I mean, it's just, you know, if you get those kind of guys there, the other guys will follow. So I do think if he leaves, that L.A. has always made the most sense because of that, because they could go get guys to play there. But you know, I also have been of the belief a lot more than most people that he's going to stick around just because, you know, I haven't written that off in a way that I think a lot of people already have.
What's the his contract situation? He's got a player option for next year, correct?
Yeah, so the other thing that people have floated out there is he could do what Chris Paul did last year, which is, like, opt into his deal to be traded, especially to a team without cap space. But I don't – I mean, people have kind of floated Houston. I don't really see that happening. And, you know, I just don't think there's a lot of options for that on the table. But you never know. I mean, the thing about LeBron is he could pretty much – if he calls a team up and says, I want to come play here, like, they'll figure out a way to make it happen, you know?
Right.
And I mean, that's really what happened back in 2014. The Cavs were not planning on LeBron being able to even sign LeBron. And Rich Paul, his agent, called David Griffin, the GM at the time, and said, hey, we want to have a meeting with you guys. And then they had to, like, change gears and, you know, like, start trading guys away and create cap space doing all this stuff. So, I mean, that could happen again here where they just call somebody and say, hey, we want to come play for your team, figure out a way to make it happen. And then, you know, it's up to Daryl Morey or whatever other GM it is to find a way to get him.
Do you think he would ever do what Wall did and just say, all right, F it, I know I'm going to be here the rest of my career. I'm just going to sign that huge Supermax, or do what Curry did and sign for the $40 million per year? You know, would he ever do that, or would he just sign the smaller deals to give him options after 2 years?
I really don't know. I mean, I wouldn't rule it out, I guess. I think he probably is just going to sign 1 year deals at this point, because he's able to, and he has the leverage to kind of dictate where he goes and what he does. So that's my guess, but yeah, I mean, if like he decides to just lock it in here and like live here, then it wouldn't stun me, I guess, if he did that. No.
It's not like he needs the financial security though. I mean, take the power of the 1 year deals. That's the way to go.
You don't think he needs money?
I mean, he does want to be the first billionaire player, which he's well on his way to doing.
Yeah, he'll get there.
I'm with you. I would say that he would take the shorter deals, but you know, if he decided he wanted to do that, I could see. He certainly could do it, and him and Chris Paul set up the CBA, so you know, they could sign a long-term deal even this late in their career. But I think that at this point, you know, he likes, especially if he stays here with Dan Gilbert as the owner, he kind of likes to, you know, hold that over Dan Gilbert's head that he could leave. So it would not surprise me in the least if he is back. If he is back here, he's back here on another one-year deal next year.
And again, in 30 seconds or less, I mean, are the Wizards just stuck? We were stuck with this little list. We made this choice. You know, I supported it with the auto. I know some of the guys here didn't, but, you know, we're kind of locked in here. Any of the pieces movable? I mean, potentially, or this is what we got?
I would say the Wizards are what they are, and people should be excited about the hockey team.
Exactly.
Well, we are.
Well put, Tim.
We're very excited about that.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
All right, fellas, great to catch up with you on the call.
All right, we'll do it again. Thank you, buddy.
For sure.
It's good advice, man. Be excited for the Caps.
Yeah.
We'll deal with the Wizards down the line.
I'm out on them.
That about the Caps, though.
Emotionally.
You did say you were out on the Caps.
I might
now you're back.
Oh, yeah.
We've got you back.
No. Yeah, I'm back on the Caps. But I'm just so out on the Wiz. I don't even like the NBA anymore. And that's a big problem. It's hard to like a team when you don't like the sport.
Well,
yeah. I get sized.
Yeah.
The playoffs are really interesting. The regular season just...
The finals...
Mind-numbing.
The finals have been kind of poopy.
Because you had two Game 7s in the Eastern Conference Finals and Western Conference Finals.
Those are good.
But we knew that the finals were going to be average.
I didn't think it was going to be that bad. I actually didn't think it was going to be this bad.
Cleveland wins tonight. Then there's
Most people predicted sweep.
Yeah, they did. I didn't realize they were so right.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. You want to chime in on anything with the Junkies? Coming right back. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Earlier in the show, we played the leaderboard on a game show Wednesday brought to you by MGM National Harbor. Anthony Rendoza was not an answer.
He was not. And by the way, MGM National Harbor is the site of the Cakes Classic tonight, 7 p.m. in the poker room. Hope to see you there. It's a $300 buy-in. No
what limit. Happens if I show up and I take you out, Cakes?
You get my bounty on my big, bald, bearded head is $300.
So I win $300 if I knock you out.
So essentially you just get a free buy-in.
Yes.
Right.
So if I knock anybody else out, I get $50. But you knock out your boy
Flakes over here.
Has anybody
offered to collude?
There's been no collusion. I haven't had any offers yet.
No collusion.
None. Are you going to? So you'll be up late again tonight.
It's probably, a witch hunt. Possibly.
Especially if you play well and get lucky.
If I play well, I'll be up till about 1:30 in the morning.
Are you going to take a nap today?
Potentially. That could happen. I also need to mention.
Who talks about naps more than the show?
Nobody. If you're not a DJ and don't want to come see Flops, there is some alternate entertainment for you tonight, and it's a good bit. It's Chalk Talk down at the DC Improv, where you can join Grant and Danny, and the special guest, Sean Doolittle from the Nats. It's tonight, starting at 7 p.m. You can meet the Nats closer, get the inside skinny on the season. It's brought to you by the Purple Heart Foundation. You can go to dcimprov.com to buy your tickets, or you can buy tickets at the door. There aren't that many left, but you can still get a few before the event tonight.
During the break, Jason said he really needed to go to the bathroom.
Yes. I really have to go to the bathroom.
But I guess he noticed this with about 10 seconds left in the break.
Right.
And I just said, why don't you just go? He said, well, you know, they don't like it. I was like, well, EB shows up late.
No, he doesn't. He never shows up late.
What are you talking about?
You would have been bitter if you were at Capital One Arena the other night when the line to get into the bathroom was a mile long.
Oh,
it took me the entire intermission to get in. The side note that I left out was I tried to creep up to the front and just avoid the line. And some dude looked at me and goes, you know the line is all the way back there, right? And then I sheepishly went to the back of the line. I got busted for butting in line. But when I
can't
made
believe
it,
that no one recognized you. Say, hey, Flakes.
That was fine.
Butting.
That was butting.
Or so you could have said, don't you know who I am?
No, I didn't pull that card.
No cutsies.
No cutsies. People get bitter.
Well, yeah, because they all felt
so
the same
I
way.
So I finally got in, and I'm doing my business in the Jordan stall. And then a drunk dude who's right outside the stall is yelling at the top of his lungs. He's going, you got 35 seconds to do your business, and then you got to get the F out of the bathroom.
He put you on a timer.
He's yelling at everybody.
Well, he's a drunk idiot.
He's a drunk idiot, but it made me laugh. Yeah. And I was in much longer than 35 seconds.
Of course you were.
Much, much longer.
By the way, I need to thank Bethesda Bagels.
Yes, thank you, Bethesda.
It's become a Wednesday tradition.
Thank
BethesdaBagels.com.
I'm rocking a red bagel from Bethesda Bagels.
That's
look
hysterical.
At that.
They do catering.
It's amazing.
Jason, of course, loves the tuna. I just had a nice omelet.
I had some scrambled eggs and some tuna.
No, I don't even care. Well, I kind of care. I was about to say, I don't care if the dye in this were to give me some sort of disease. I'm still going to eat it. I'm going to eat
the rock in the red.
I think the red dye bit, I think that went away.
Like they've gotten rid of the bad stuff in the red dye.
My mom put that in my head. Like,
oh, so
30
it's
years
healthy
ago.
Dye
like
now.
Red dye number five is now like eliminated.
Well, I don't think they can use it anymore. I mean, I think it was proven to be like a carcinogen or something, and now, you know. How
I'm
is
rocking
that?
The red bagel. It's very good.
Can I have a little? Can I just my fingers? No, your fingers.
I'll break off a piece for you.
When was the last time?
I hate when people touch my food.
Like your finger. You wash your hands, right?
I wash them every time I'm in the bathroom, son.
Good.
Does that work?
Yeah. I don't think that's true. I think I saw you walk out the other day without washing your hands.
I think I have a pretty sturdy confident. I think
I'm pretty confident that I saw you walk out without washing your hands.
I'm not willing to wager like a chunk of my 401k, but I think I'm pretty consistent.
I'm gonna be honest
with my hand wash.
I know,
my
but pretty consistent
now,
isn't saying 100. It's not 100%.
It's not the best hand washing. It's a splash a little bit. Not always soap, but there's always hand washing.
Splash of water.
If I'm telling you, I'm pretty confident, Cakes. That I saw you take care of your business and walk right out.
I don't think so. I think I'm
if you accuse me of that,
it.
I wouldn't argue with you.
Right.
Hey, I saw an
I'm about an 80%.
I saw an employee do that here.
I'm 50-50.
And I didn't know if I should have confronted him or not.
No, of course was, you can't confront
about what?
Unless
it was gross.
No, if they're doing number two, confrontable. Number one,
yeah, if they're doing number two, they can literally give you a virus.
Number two.
I was just, I thought about it, but I was just stunned.
Number one, for a guy, you're more likely, like Jason had an accident last week. He came in here and he was like, you're more likely
to have an
issue.
Well, as you get older, it becomes more sloppy.
He was dribbling more than Chris Paul.
Right, but I mean, doing number two, you shouldn't have a slip up.
Your hand is like the worst place ever.
If you're doing number two, it is a guarantee you have to wash.
Have to.
I mean, you could.
I think you're less likely.
I think you get like Ebola or something.
I think you're less likely to have a slip up.
Oh, I don't know.
You're insane. There's duty all over your hands, like microscopic duty all over your hands. You can't see it, Slim.
Yeah, you gotta wash that off.
And that's gotta be the hot water.
That's the.
It's gotta be like 200 degrees.
The most hurting part of your body. The front part is the silliest part of my body. It's silly. It's not a problem.
I don't know if it's
the back part, and I treat seriously. Like you could have breakfast back there. I don't leave until it's so clean. But even then, there's microscopic. You can't even tell.
You can't get clean unless you put soap and water.
Keep
it
clean.
You can't just get it 100% clean with.
Yeah, I can eat my Bethesda bagels off of that. I'm gonna pass. I'm gonna take your word for it. And. Hard pass.
By the way, Thomas DeLay got bitter at what's the brother's name who works in like digital and comes back and grabs bagels all the time. The guy with the bigger.
Yeah, I don't
know. He came back and wanted to get one of the Caps bagels.
Of course.
And I don't know what you guys feel about that. Tom DeLay was giving him ass because he said he had to ask.
Oh, is Tom get bitter?
He was shaming him a little bit.
When did he become Tom DeLay?
Tommy DeLay.
I don't know, whatever. Whoever,
he's
cares?
Tom Daly, but
I know.
He's always Tommy DeLay.
I didn't even know what he's talking about.
It's a good policy, and Tom's a great bouncer out there.
Could be a good bouncer.
But I told him, I was like, as long as he's asking, it's fine.
What happened to the stupid lamp? Remember there was a lamp?
Yeah, what happened to
the lamp? That got shut down by management.
Why? Like,
if the light is on, only the junkies.
I think it hurt people's feelings.
Oh, it did?
Like who?
Kidding.
Like who?
They get hurt feelings.
Elitism.
Well, I mean,
hey, it's 2018.
I don't go and eat other people's food unless they would offer it.
Right. Or you ask.
Yeah, of course. Like, when I walk by and every once in a while there's some big buffet out there, I say, hey, can I have some? I wouldn't just take
it. Like, if PGC is having hosting like a breakfast thing, you don't just go up and start.
Brother chef out there doing his thing?
Yeah, you don't just go start taking breakfast sausages.
No, it's called manners.
I ask.
There's a lot of people without them around here.
By the way, Drab really wants us to bring up the IHOP topic.
Well, I don't even know what that is.
Supposedly, IHOP.
It's a minute. We got a minute left.
They're changing their name to IHOP.
Why would they do that? That's the dumbest move
International
ever.
House of
Breakfast.
That would
because
be like
they feel like pancakes too carby. Too many carbs.
Too limited. Too limited.
No, they don't like that carb association.
Really?
I'm telling you, yeah. They want to make sure people
not
know they're getting
fanatic. I don't think
if they didn't like it, they wouldn't serve it.
I think it's a stunt. Yeah. It's probably like a one day.
80% of their menu is carbs.
I mean, by the way, everything's got
pancakes,
carbs
waffles.
In it.
No, eggs don't really have carbs. Eggs are silly.
Okay,
eggs. AWOD's
no carbs. Everything else they serve does?
AWOD's
sausage,
theory.
Fine.
I can't believe AWOD's
theory. Pancakes are carb-alicious.
It's grapple.
Probably 50-50.
AWOD's theory. I can't believe he said it. He goes, He goes, it's probably because stupid millennials think they only serve pancakes. Coming from a stupid millennial. Well,
he's the poster child of stupid millennials.
Somebody texted me today, and he said, off the record, is Adam actually mildly blank?
I know what blank is.
I'm going to say no.
He said there's something. When you talk to him, you stare directly at him, and he's come away with nothing.
Zippy.
And I told him, I said, I honestly don't know.
All right, we got to get out of here. For Bish, Cake, CB, I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow. Grant and Danny next. Bing. From Nat's Park.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.